I just had the opportunity to have an excellent conversation with President-elect Trump. We talked about some of the organizational issues in setting up a White House. We talked about foreign policy. We talked about domestic policy. And as I said last night, my number one priority in the coming 2 months is to try to facilitate a transition that ensures our president-elect is successful.
The tone of the markets, who would have thought it? A Dow that finished near a record high. Dow futures up 130. S&P 500 futures positive 14.
And $337 billion. That is how much global bond investors lost in a single day as Trump's victory sparked concerns that his plans to boost economic growth will lead to a surge in inflation.
General Motors will lay off over 2,000 employees at the beginning of next year. The automaker will suspend the third shift at two of its factories in Lordstown, Ohio, as well as Lansing, Michigan.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is Friday. Today is November 11th, 2016, 5:10. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. Welcome to another business day if you are working today. It is Veterans Day, of course. A lot of banks, I think, are closed today. Schools, some schools. But it is not a market holiday. The markets are open. We'll have the numbers for you momentarily. But just a moment about veterans. Thank you for your service. It is because of you that all of us can go to sleep at night and sleep comfortably as you have taken care of us and guarded our country against terrors, foreign and domestic. We thank you for your service again on this Veterans Day and a debt of service that we can't repay with just one day of celebrating you, but we nonetheless want to say thank you. On this Veterans Day, there are lots of things happening that you can take advantage of, lots of people saying thank you. Veterans Day businesses across the country offering free things to veterans, lots of services as well. We'll go through some of those a little bit later in the broadcast. But first, let's start at the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk for this Friday morning. Dow futures are off 60 points, 18,726. NASDAQ and S&P futures are lower as well. Markets generally around the world are mixed to those markets that are open today. Most markets generally are open. There is some news that we can pass along to you this morning. First of all, out of Chicago in the post-Trump election era, you heard some of the sound bites of President Obama welcoming Trump to the White House yesterday. The co-founder of the Chicago-based food delivery service Grubhub is making clear his disdain for President-elect Trump. CEO Matt Maloney wrote in an email to his workers that the company will not tolerate Trump's hateful politics, and anybody who doesn't agree should resign. Maloney wrote he rejects what he calls the nationalist, anti-immigrant, and hateful politics of Trump and will work to shield our community, meaning his office, his business, from that movement. In a tweet Thursday that was later deleted, Maloney said Grubhub does not tolerate hate. We are proud of all of our employees, even those who voted for Trump. That was deleted, but the email stands, and anybody who doesn't agree should resign. Big move by that company. So far, that's the only one we've heard of with any ties locally. Generally, oil is doing well today around the world. It was down just a little earlier this week, but it's at $44.50 a barrel now. Looks like it's going up. After falling below that earlier, the dollar gained against the yen and the euro. Just a couple of big things that could drive the markets a little bit later on today. The bond market, however, is closed. The stock market, as I said, is open. Major earnings reports today. J.C. Penney and Company will report quarterly financial earnings before the opening bell. Medicare has announced Part B premium for 2017, and for most beneficiaries, it's a modest increase. Next year, tiny Social Security cost of living increase means that only about 70% of Medicare recipients will be protected from rising medical costs. For that group, the average premium is going to be about $109 a month. That's a 4% increase over what they paid this year, $104.90. Well, let's bring in Paul Nolte now. We want to check in on our portfolios after a week, a busy week politically and economically here at 513. Paul Nolte of Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Steve.
How you doing today?
It's been an exciting week, as you alluded to, and I don't think it's going to be ending with Friday's trading either.
Yeah, so what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, when you look at the markets, we've had huge swings in a variety of industry groups. You alluded to the bond market, which has sold off very hard, and interest rates have gone up. So how your portfolio did depended very much on what parts of the market you were invested in.
Well, and here on this show, we have been following your advice, and we've been in the bond market. So how bad was it?
Well, you know, yesterday we saw the long bond or 30-year bonds decline by 2-3%. The damage wasn't that bad on the short end because interest rates there don't move nearly as much. It's kind of like a teeter-totter. The short end tends to be the fulcrum of the teeter-totter, and the long end, the long bonds, tend to be the far end of the teeter-totter that swing a lot more wildly when interest rates change. So overall, we came out okay, and it provided a little bit of a buffer as we saw the election results come in, and then trading gets started on Wednesday.
Well, we will get into some more of this in a bit. It's probably a good time, good day that the bond market is closed today. Probably could use a little break. On the WGN market desk this morning, some stocks of local interest sponsored by Associated Bank, especially some world markets, world stocks that compete globally, I should say. Archer Daniels Midland Corporation, ADM, is off more than 1% this morning. Also this morning, we're watching Mondelez International very close. They had been off 4.5% at the high, off just about 4% now. The Kraft Heinz Company off to about 3.5% this morning.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. News about possible spending under the Trump administration helped to push stocks into record territory yesterday. The Dow Jones climbed more than 200 points to nearly 19,000. The S&P 500 was up 4 points. The Nasdaq fell 42. A possible lifeline for nearly 2,000 General Motors workers facing layoff in January. The head of the United Auto Workers Union says they could be placed at other factories. GM says a drop in demand is prompting pink slips at facilities in Ohio and Michigan. A federal judge has laid out rules for how Amazon must reimburse customers whose kids made purchases on mobile devices without permission. The judge denied Amazon's request to reimburse customers with gift cards. This is China's version of Valentine's Day. It's a quirky holiday that's grown into the world's busiest day for e-commerce. Chinese online shoppers spent $12 billion in the first 12 hours of so-called Singles Day. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It's 521. Welcome back to the program. I can't help but notice I didn't get any singles gifts today. Paul Nolte with us from Kingsview Asset Management. I'm looking at my staff with a stare this morning, Paul. I guess it's maybe just a...
Good luck with that, yeah.
Yeah, maybe just a Chinese holiday. So, you know, I'm looking at some of the headlines scrolling this morning, and we've been looking to Trump. Initially, a lot of good comments from his victory speech, but his transition team website, his transition team now speaking a lot, I guess, for him. And they, in the last 24 hours, have said, pledged to dismantle the Dodd-Frank Act. They also will say they're going to abolish Obamacare. On immigration, they still say that the wall is still there, and that's causing a little bit of uneasiness around the world on markets today. I'm guessing it's also hitting the bond market. What do you think of all this?
Well, you know, and that's where you're seeing the very divergent performance within the market. So if you look at the financials, which would certainly in the banks that would benefit from a rollback of Dodd-Frank, those stocks are up 10, 15, 20% just since election. And you look at utilities, which are bond surrogates, they're down significantly. So the difference between the better performing sectors and the poorer performing sectors is anywhere between 5 and 8%. And that's what I was alluding to before, in that a diversified portfolio really hasn't done all that well. You really needed to be in the better sectors over the last couple of days to see significant performance.
Yeah, some of the tech stocks are being hit very hard. Tesla off about 3%. Alphabet, the Google company, is off about 2%. So when we talk about dismantling the Dodd-Frank Act, what will that mean for the average American?
Again, we're not sure because it's going to depend on one of the things that they've proposed is the too big to fail or those significant companies to our financial well-being, and raising the bar on that from $50 billion or $5 billion to $50 or $500 billion. And that what that would do would be to exclude a lot of the more mid-sized banks and would focus more on the larger banks. Banks to this point have focused a lot on fee income and not so much interest income. It would allow them to go back to being able to trade a little bit more and a little bit more freely than what they've done in the past. But again, it's going to depend on how things look when it gets through Congress, and that's one of the things that we'll have to wait and see, because we can propose a lot of things at this point, or certainly Trump can, but it's got to make its way through Congress. It's going to be helped a little bit by the fact that it's a Republican Congress, but still, it's got to be palatable, and it's got to make it all the way through yet.
Yeah, and even though there is a Republican Congress in the Senate, it's probably going to take that 60-vote majority, which there are still some Democrats there, so that's going to be difficult to move along. I know we, you and I, Paul, and the audience have talked a lot about emerging markets. Those areas seem to be slumping this morning as well.
And they've been slumping again since the election. And again, it's the talk about immigration and more of a, you know, we're closing the borders, and that type of discussion is very disruptive to the emerging markets. And so as a result, they have been one of the areas in international investing as a whole that have really been hit hard here and have down 3-4% over the last couple of days. So again, as we've talked to our clients about, you know, what should you do, I think really the worst thing to do is to jump into the breach and rearrange portfolios immediately, allow the dust to settle for a couple of weeks, and then see where things are at before you really make some big changes to portfolios.
And that's why it's good to have somebody like you watching things. Have you been dipping into the special sauce this week? Have you been losing sleep? Have you gotten any kind of rest, or are you on edge?
No, actually, very comfortable with how we have structured portfolios and how we're invested at this point. We do have some money in the infrastructure plays, as it were. The mutual funds that we use tend to be larger U.S. We do have some of that international exposure, which certainly has hurt the portfolio. But overall, the balanced portfolio has weathered the storm okay, and we're not too terribly concerned at this point. But we're looking for those changes in trends, and certainly the emerging market change is one that we're keeping an eye on to see if that persists or if it's just a week or two change here. Our initial thought is it's a knee-jerk reaction, and a lot of what trading has gone on in the last couple of days has been just that knee-jerk reaction. So we're waiting for the true trends to once again emerge, but that'll take probably a couple of weeks yet.
And there is, obviously, on the positive side of things, a chance to make some money on some stock, too, this morning.
Oh, absolutely. And as I said, when you take a look at those areas that could have that impact, the healthcare area, the industrial stocks like a 3M or a Boeing or a defense stocks, those have done very well. Banking as well. So those areas, I think, will tend to see a little bit better performance over the next week or two. But again, we'll start talking about the economy. We'll start talking about interest rates. We'll talk about global growth in the weeks ahead. And that's what really will be driving the stock market.
And how good of us this morning that we only mentioned interest rate rates once and you did it, so ha-ha.
Don't worry, we'll be doing, again, we'll be back to normal in another couple of weeks.
All right, Paul Nolte of Kingsview Asset Management with us. Good of you to be with us. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thank you.
And remember, you can sign up for Paul Nolte's weekly investment newsletter at kingsview.com/WGN.
From ABC News, Tech Trends, an upgrade for those flying into the heart of Silicon Valley. Details after this. The first thing you may see when you land at San Jose International Airport are some new high-tech greeters.
Hi, my name is Norma. Do you want to see me dance?
Norma and her two sister robots, Amelia and Piper, have animated faces and are fitted with large touch screens. They were developed by Korean firm Future Robot. They're already getting mixed reaction from passengers.
Winking at me for some odd reason.
I saw the face looking at me, and I just assumed it would talk to me. So I started talking to it.
San Jose Airport spokeswoman Rosemary Barnes says that their American-made software can help passengers with a number of tasks.
Currency exchange, restrooms.
But some say these high-tech ambassadors for Silicon Valley's airports still need some improvements, including facial recognition software.
It would be nice if it saw me get off the plane and said, hi, nice to have you back. How was your trip?
With Tech Trends, I'm Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program at 538. If you are thinking about buying airline tickets in the near future, the time to do so would be soon. Apparently, an airline fare increase is sticking across many areas of the sector. And this morning, we're going to bring in Rick Cini, as we do every Friday morning here on The Opening Bell from FareCompare.com in Dallas. Rick is the founder and CEO of Fair Compare. And Rick, as we look at some of the sale prices this morning, they seem to be few and far between. It looks like this fare hike is sticking, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, there's an airfare hike last week. You know, it's sort of a mixed bag on airfare hikes. We saw a Canadian airfare hike. We also saw a domestic airfare hike. But it mostly stuck on business travelers, those, you know, buying their tickets inside of 14 days before departure. Leisure travelers who fill up the rest of the airplane, they're having trouble. The airlines are having trouble making those kind of hikes stick. Now, if you're flying to Europe, for example, you've got competition from WOW Air and Norwegian, which is driving down the price to Europe in the $700 to $800 range on legacy airlines and under $500 on those airlines. So that's look like that's going to stick for the next year or so, as Delta sort of announced that they're going to have to match some of those prices.
As people get ready to go for Thanksgiving and thinking about the holidays, if they haven't already locked in a low fare, it's probably they're out of luck, aren't they?
Yeah, you're pretty much out of luck. I mean, you could at the last minute, when you get this close to the last minute, you might want to look at packages. Sometimes you can do air and hotel, even which is cheaper than actual air. If you pick a cheaper hotel, you can toss the hotel, for example. But basically, you're in last minute range. Now, if you're flying under 90 minutes, that's usually not a problem because the prices don't tend to jump as dramatically on those short haul flights. So if you're just trying to get away, your best bet is to go only a short distance. So under 500 miles is your best bet.
And so the old advice that you've given us about finding cheap fares still applies in some cases, right? The 2:30 Tuesday rule?
Yeah, so here's sort of the anatomy of an airfare sale. What happens on Saturday and Sunday, the marketers at airlines are actually playing soccer with their kids, so not a whole lot happens. They come in on Monday. They call up their agency. They want to actually do some stuff in the newspaper. They're going to do some advertising. They're going to set up their landing pages for the sale, and they're going to set up their email programs to announce it. And then they actually call the airfare department that night and say, go ahead and file the sale fares. That happens Monday at 8 p.m. Now, you'd think that that's when you should shop, but that's not actually the case. Sometimes it takes about 3 or 4 hours to hit the reservation system for that one airline. In the morning, though, the rest of the airlines actually see that sale come in at 10 a.m. in the morning. Their marketers have their sale fares already ready on the shelf to match because they've been matching for the last 5 or 10 years, these sales. And they file their sale. And they hit the reservation system about 2:30 to 3 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesday afternoon. And that's when you have the maximum number of cheap seats.
And, of course, follow you at faircompare.com. We are seeing the further expansion of this European discount airline, WOW. Pittsburgh. Is there any chance Chicago is going to be added to this list soon?
I would suspect almost all the major northeastern and midwestern hub cities are going to be on their target list to actually start flying. Connecting in Reykjavik, these are sub $500 fares in many cases into Europe, which is at least 30 to 40% below. Delta executives announced in their investor call that they thought that these two airlines, WOW and Norwegian, along with some potential other competition, are going to drive down the price to Europe next year. So, you know, demand being down with some terrorism jitters as well, it looks like if you're heading to Europe in the spring of next year, for example, it's going to be probably one of the cheapest times that you'll ever be able to go in your lifetime. And for a lot of people, going to Europe is a once-in-a-lifetime event.
And these planes, are they biplanes or are they actual jets?
Oh, no. Brand spanking new Dreamliners, actually. Wow. So these are Boeing Dreamliners. Now, they don't have business class cabins in them. They're all configured for all leisure. It's a completely different business model, more like the low-cost model you would see, for example, from Spirit Airlines, and Frontier Airlines now today, and even maybe to some degree Southwest JetBlue, for example. So basically in the low-cost category, no business class cabin.
Their hub is Reykjavik, Iceland. That's not a bad place to visit.
Oh, it's an awesome place to visit at the right time of year. Just got to, you know, dodge volcanoes every 7 or 8 years.
Right.
But you're in pretty good shape going there. It's a great place to visit. You can connect. It's close to Europe, so once you're there, you can get into Europe pretty quickly, spend the night, recover a little bit because it's a little bit interesting coming back. They also, going against a jet stream, they can land and refuel, which a lot of flights, by the way, on some of the domestic carriers also have to land there as well. So a great place to visit.
You mentioned Delta earlier. They have now matched, apparently, Americans' premium economy. Is this going to be the new thing now, premium economy class?
Yeah, I think if you look sort of at a longer-term timeline, the airlines believe that we're in for at least a few decades of global economic austerity. Their new aircraft that they're taking delivery, essentially getting rid of the first-class cabin, not worrying about whether or not they can carry Hollywood stars and a variety of other of those kind of folks, reconfiguring the whole front to be business class, much bigger section, and then a series of more legroom sections.
The group car traveler yearbook ancillary revenue is out with how much the airlines collected in some of the ancillary fees of last year, $40 billion.
Yeah, this is a huge change in the business model of airlines. Used to be it was the airfare and everything was included in the airfare. That included meals and a variety of other things. Now everything has been completely unbundled. Now the two biggest fee, and most of these fees are optional, by the way. A lot of them are when you change your ticket. Some of them are when you check a bag, for example. But on the super ultra low cost airlines, essentially everything's a fee, right? So if you put something in the overhead bin, there's a fee for that.
United is apparently at the top of this list, $6 billion. Their total revenue, almost $38 billion. So that's a big deal for United.
Yeah, no, and a lot of that happens to be the check bag fees and the change fees. Now, the change fees are the most onerous fee that the airlines have. So not only are you going to pay the difference in price and ticket, usually at the last minute, that's much higher. You're also going to lose, in the case of domestic, $200, international, $300 in the face value of your ticket as a penalty.
So get us out of town. Any good fares?
Yeah, you know, actually, just the right time to fly is the first two weeks in December. I was just looking out of Chicago for nonstop flights. I can't find anything to major cities, the major 20 or 30 cities, it's more than $170 round trip. That includes all of South Florida, Miami, Fort Myers, Orlando, and sort of the Midwest Florida. You have the Northeast coast, New York, Washington, Boston. You have the West Coast, San Francisco, Los Angeles, San Diego, all under $150 round trip. Seattle and Portland under $180 round trip. So essentially, if there's one time a year to fly and you have to get away, those first 2 weeks in December is the time to go.
All right, Rick, happy safe travels.
Hey, thanks, Steve.
Rick Senes is founder and CEO of FareCompare.com based in Dallas. You can follow Rick at Twitter at Rick Senes, S-E-A-N-E-Y, and at FareCompare.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 551 on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Dow futures off now 59 points. S&P and NASDAQ futures lower as well. Crude oil now trading lower by about 1.5%, 44.03 a barrel. Let's check in now with Orion Samuelson, Ag Commodities and the Farm Broadcasters Meeting. Good morning, Orion.
Well, good morning from Kansas City, where it's 50 degrees and partly cloudy. But Steve, the big news here. America may have elected a president on Tuesday, but yesterday, the National Association of Farm Broadcasting elected a new president for a one-year term. His name, Max Armstrong. And we're very proud of the fact that Max, who's been a part of our WGN family since 1977, was elected by an overwhelming vote yesterday as president of the National Association of Farm Broadcasting. So the next time you see Max, to talk to him, congratulate him on that.
And call him Mr. President.
Yes. Oh, yes. By all means, call him Mr. President. A lot of people appeared on programs yesterday, but the biggest one was Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack. It was an interesting visit, Steve, because this probably is the last time that Tom Vilsack will appear before as large a group of farm broadcasters that really have worked with him throughout his 8-year term as secretary. And it got a bit emotional at times. One of the things he wanted to talk about was Veterans Day, pointing out that in World War II, a much larger percentage of the military people that fought in that war came from farms and ranches across the country. So he spent some time on that, but he also spent some time talking about the importance of agricultural trade, and it looks now, according to him, like the Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership Agreement will not come up for a vote in the lame duck session of Congress. And that's a big disappointment, even to the President of the United States, despite what Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump said during the campaign. President Obama wanted that to be another of his achievements before he left office, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen. And exports are so important. It was pointed out again yesterday. The U.S. Feed Grains Council, which attends this meeting with several of their officers, talked about how important exports are, not only to the ag economy, but to the economy of the United States. And in September of this year, corn exports from the U.S. went up 89% over a year ago, 6.3 million metric tons. That's 248 million bushels. Shipments to Japan, South Korea, Peru, and Taiwan more than doubling over a year ago. So those are some of the events taking place. This is the final day of this convention. And then we'll all go back home and wonder who will be Secretary of Agriculture in the Trump administration.
You know, yesterday, we saw a little bit of that yesterday. A couple of the people that you mentioned yesterday, Sam Brownback was on there, but also the Ag Secretary right now in Texas, he's also been mentioned. And I know you may have seen this yesterday, speaking of the Trans-Pacific Act, the Prime Minister of Canada says he's ready to renegotiate NAFTA whenever Donald Trump is ready. What will that mean to agriculture?
Well, that's one of the things that bothered me more than any other during the campaign. NAFTA has been in place now since the 1990s. As a matter of fact, it was signed when Bill Clinton was president. And the trade of all three countries, Mexico, Canada, and the United States, has increased dramatically. NAFTA has worked for 30 years, and I can't imagine that we would take this trade agreement apart. They keep talking about jobs moving out, but I haven't seen any number from anybody on how many jobs move out because of trade agreements. So I'm hoping whoever is Secretary of Agriculture is strong enough to convince Donald Trump to leave NAFTA alone.
All right, Orion Samuelson, have a great weekend. Have a safe trip back from the broadcasters meeting.
Thank you very much, Steve.
All right. As we close out the program today, another note about Veterans Day. Lots of companies are offering free reduced items on this Veterans Day. We'll just give you a couple of the list here, and then I'll tweet them out. We'll tweet them out for you later because there is quite a big list. But you can go to IHOP and get free pancakes. Little Caesars offering free meals. Also Red Lobster, Chipotle, Denny's, Cracker Barrel, Chili's, Olive Garden. All of those offering free or reduced deals today for military families and military personnel, veterans, on this Veterans Day because their service. It's, you know, it's hard to find a way to say thank you in a way, but this is just a little token by these organizations. Now, the Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Friday, November 11th. It is Veterans Day, of course. U.S. Traditionally attends a wreath-laying ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery in Virginia. That'll happen at the 11th hour on this 11th day of the 11th month. President Obama, his last Veterans Day celebration, or commemoration at least, in Washington. Consumer sentiment numbers later this morning. Washington, the bond market's closed for Veterans Day. The stocks are open around the world. Hong Kong releases its third quarter economic data today. Earnings, JCPenney, Brookfield Asset Management, among the two big ones.